Minister Chan Chun Sing.
Chair, MOE thank members for your suggestions, comments and support. Our education system has achieved much, but much is at stake. Much more needs to be done for us to stay relevant, stay ahead and stay together. We have built a system that has uplifted our people amidst the challenges and opportunities through the years. And we have fostered a sense of cohesion and unity amongst Singaporeans despite our diverse heritage and backgrounds. Our foundations are sound. Our system is functioning well, but we must not be self-congratulatory. We can easily be bypassed if we become irrelevant, overtaken if we become complacent, and disrupted if we fail to understand the pivotal forces shaping our world. Our goals remain unchanged: for Singapore to defy the odds of history, to survive and thrive. For our people to be the best versions of themselves, and for us to distinguish ourselves by our ideals of excellence, our unity and our unyielding spirit to overcome challenges. But our approach, policies and mindsets must continue to evolve with the times. As the global order fragments and geopolitical tensions worsen, we need to hone our ability to bridge divides, connect diverse perspectives, and forge partnerships. As economies become increasingly volatile and protectionist, we need to secure our relevance by adapting to new contexts, creating new value propositions, and finding answers to tomorrow's questions ahead of time. As societies fracture amidst rising inequality, heightened insecurities, and divisive contestation in the information space, we need to strengthen our identity amidst these divisive forces to stay resilient and united, recognizing that the competition is not amongst ourselves, but between Team Singapore and the rest of the world. As technology progresses and challenges convention, we need to master the new while integrating the best of the old to create breakthroughs in how we learn, teach, and earn our keep. Ms. Denise Phua asked how we will provide a future-ready education for all. I will focus on two structural shifts we have embarked on to achieve this. First, we must recognize, respect, and embrace a diversity of talents to enable Singaporeans to thrive even amidst the uncertainties and untidiness of the world. We need to shift away from the narrow definitions of success, which may make us proficient in select domains but brittle as a system. We must also avoid teaching to the average, which does not bring out the best in anyone. Instead, we must do better by empowering Singaporeans to build on their different strengths, pursue excellence in their respective fields, and contribute to society in their own ways. Second, we must learn for life beyond schools and to practice continuous meritocracy. Singapore is no longer playing catch-up. We are at the frontier. But to stay at the top of our game, we need to create new value propositions for ourselves and the world. By combining the strong foundation we set for our students in formal education with the rigor and innovation we see in frontier industries. We cannot afford to be the proverbial frog in the well, or to build a cart behind closed door, as the Chinese say, 闭门造车. The school cannot be our world. Instead, the world must be our school. We must remain open to different perspectives and work with people from different backgrounds and nationalities to enrich our thinking and solutions. And we must do this not just in the first 15 years of formal education, but also in the next 50 years of life beyond the formal school system. I will elaborate on what we have done and what we plan to do in these two areas. First, we need to embrace our diversity of talents. This reflects our aspirations as a society to recognize every individual's unique strengths and equip every student as best as we can to fulfill their aspirations. In recent years, we have turned our focus to developing our students holistically. We want to nurture our students' resilience, adaptability, and motivation to learn for life, and empower them to take ownership of their own education journey. To achieve this, we are gradually reducing an overemphasis on academic results and moving towards more holistic development of diverse skills and attributes. We want to learn more, test less. We remove mid-year examinations across all levels. We replace the PSLE T-score with achievement levels to avoid an overly fine differentiation of examination results. Direct school admissions provide students with an alternative pathway to enter their preferred schools. And we will certainly take into account Mr. Patrick Tay's suggestions in our current review. Ms. Denise Phua and Ms. Hazel Phua asked for a through train from primary to secondary school. Ms. Hazel Phua also asked for smaller class sizes. Chair, MOE takes all well-intentioned ideas seriously. However, we should be clear what are the ends we are trying to achieve or which problems we are trying to solve before we jump into our preferred solutions or ways. And we should also be cognizant of the means required, trade-offs, and unintended consequences of any well-intentioned ideas. Members can refer to the discussions and considerations shared previously in the Committee of Supply in 2023 and 2024, and more recently in my speech at the MOE NIE IPS lecture to appreciate the associated issues, operational challenges, and opportunities. At the secondary level, full subject-based banding or full SVB has been implemented for more than a year now. This gives our students the flexibility to customize their learning in each subject and at different stages of their learning journeys, reflecting our open, continuous, and compassionate meritocracy. School leaders and teachers have shared with us that their students are taking greater ownership of their learning. Subject classes provide appropriate stretch for each student. Meanwhile, mixed form classes create more opportunities for students from different backgrounds to interact with and learn from one another. These positive outcomes are only possible because of our educators' commitment. It is not an easy task, and I would like to thank them for the work that they have put in to recognize the diversity of our students and maximize their potential. But Chair, we are not done. We are judiciously embracing technology such as AI to complement our teaching capabilities and capacities to move towards the effective class size of one, where we can mass personalize teaching and learning for our students. And this will also refocus our educators' time and bandwidth on the higher need students and hone the higher faculties of our students. With full SBB, we also announced adjustments to the admission criteria for polytechnic to recognize students with more diverse subject level combinations. For students exploring the pre-university pathway, we want to create more time and space to build on their strengths and develop them holistically. Hence, we will adjust the admission criteria for JC, starting from the 2028 intake. JC admission scores are currently based on the L1-R5. This was introduced in 1989 to specify the subjects counted towards JC admission. Previously, many were not prepared for JC and eventually performed poorly at the A-levels. Since then, passing rates for the A-levels have increased significantly from 65% to over 90%, and students' readiness for JC is no longer a major concern. Mr. Darryl David will be glad to know that we will be revising the JC admission criteria from L1-R5 to L1-R4 by counting one fewer subject. This means that students will be able to take fewer subjects or take some subjects at a less demanding level depending on their interests and aptitude. They will thus be able to devote more time and effort to pursue their interests, deepen their communication and collaboration skills through CCAs, and uncover new strengths through school programs. Members can be assured that we are not loosening criteria for JC admission. We will retain the requirements for language and three relevant subjects, one in the humanities, one in mathematics or science, and one final one in any of these subjects to be included in L1-R4. JC-going students will still have the foundation they need for JC. On the other hand, we are also not tightening the criteria. With one fewer subject counted, students will need a gross aggregate score of 16 points rather than 20 points to be eligible for JC. This is a natural recalibration that five subjects will be counted rather than six. Based on our simulations, we expect that a similar proportion of students will continue to qualify for JCs. We'll monitor their academic outcomes to ensure that students are befitting for their JC program. With one fewer subject included, we will also adjust the cap on bonus points from 4 to 3. Bonus points recognize key aspects of our students' holistic development, such as in CCAs and other language programs. SPS Sean Huang will elaborate more on CCAs and our review. I will share more about learning of our mother tongues. Bilingualism is a fundamental part of our national identity and our competitive advantage to build bridges in a fragmented world. As announced previously, MOE will be taking additional steps to encourage the learning of mother tongue languages, or MTL. In the preschools, we are focusing on early exposure to MTL. We are piloting this in 2 MOE kindergartens and will expand this to 4 more MKs in 2026 and share our approach with other preschool operators. Secondary school students will have more opportunities to offer higher mother tongue. These and other MOE moves will help, but they are not a panacea. Ultimately, our families and society must come together with our schools to create a conducive environment for the learning and use of mother tongues. If mother tongues are not used in homes and communities, they become second languages rather than mother tongues. What schools do, our families and society need to reinforce. We have made policy changes over many years to reduce an overemphasis on academics, but to make a lasting impact, mindset and culture must change too. Changing our scoring system or assessment models as suggested, or reducing mid-year examinations will not reduce pressure on students if we, as parents and as society, compete to the last decimal point and power on what MOE removes and reduces. We must all recognize that academic results, while important, are not the sole definition or determinant of success. I invite parents and schools to work together to help our students to identify their own strengths and talent and to realize their potential. Maybe at this point, Chair, I'll just share a short story of an interaction I had with a group of JC students some years back. They told me that they were very stressed. So I asked them, would it help if I cut your syllabus by half? They all paused. They look at me, wondering if I was pulling their leg. After a long pause, they almost all replied in unison, Minister, please don't do that. If you cut our syllabus by half, the stress will be even worse. I asked them, why? One brave girl replied, Sir, if we are only competing for half of the content, we will literally compete until the third decimal point rather than the second decimal point. And we will all be more stressed. Since they thought I was pulling their leg, I thought to counter-propose to them that perhaps then I should increase your content by 2 times. They all didn't know whether to laugh or they thought that the Minister of Education was being serious or not. But that was not the end of the story. After a while, I paused and I asked them, if you have some free time today, can you tell me something that you will want to learn that your teacher didn't tell you to do so and your parents didn't ask you to do so? They took a long time before they gave me any answer. I was rather sad. I want all my students not to be circumscribed by what is in the syllabus. I hope all my students, each and every one of them, will find something that they are passionate in, go forth and learn, regardless whether it's in the syllabus or not, so that they can each realize their own potential and bring their own unique strengths to the table to make for a more resilient Singapore. Hence, I'm under no illusions that while we reduce what is counted for JC admission, if our mindsets do not change, we won't go very far. Chair, as PM announced last year, facilities in all schools will be progressively enhanced to make better use of technology and support collaboration. For JCs, MOE had previously announced the JC Rejuvenation Programme to enhance teaching and learning to cater for future needs. Under Phase 1, 4 JC campuses are being redeveloped: Anderson Serangoon, Jurong Pioneer, Temasek and Yishun Innova, to have enhanced facilities such as seminar rooms and more configurable spaces. This will support more student-centred, experiential and collaborative learning. Staff will also have multifunctional workspaces to promote interactions and professional development. Phase 1 is in progress, and all 4 JCs are expected to operate from their rejuvenated campuses from 2028. MOE is now developing plans for Phase 2, which will cover 4 other JCs: Anglo-Chinese, Catholic, National and Victoria. These are our next oldest JC campuses. MOE is working with the JCs on their infrastructure plans, including possibly moving them to new locations. As part of the plans, we are also discussing how the JCs can develop new programs, work with industries and serve the community around them. We will share more details in due course. Chair, from embracing our diversity of talents, I will now move on to our second structural shift: learning for life. Over the years, we have significantly expanded opportunities for Singaporeans to pursue higher education and prepare themselves for the workforce. For example, IT students can take up diplomas to build on their foundations, gain work-ready skills, and get good jobs. Last year, we announced the IT Progression Award to help IT graduates upskill early and boost their savings to support their long-term goals. Tuan Maliki will provide an update on this. Most education systems focus on preparing and equipping the young to enter the workforce. But even as we train our younger generation in skills that are in demand today, these skills will ultimately atrophy if they are not used or refreshed throughout life. Skills that are not frequently used or deliberately honed will eventually become obsolete with technology and demand changes. And the older generations who had fewer opportunities in the past are at an even higher risk of having outdated skills. This is why we started SkillsFuture in 2015, to invest in and encourage our people to embrace a culture of lifelong learning and enable workers to develop their skills and stay relevant through their careers. We have enhanced accessibility and affordability of training programs. We have invested resources to understand how adults learn. The mindsets and workers of workers and enterprises have also started to shift. Now, about 500,000 individuals take up training courses every year, 20% of our Singaporean workforce. Our goal is not just quantity, but more importantly, quality and relevance of the courses. Lifelong learning must continue to be Singapore's competitive advantage, and SkillsFuture will be a pillar of our social compact. We recognize this through Forward Singapore by turning SkillsFuture into a key pillar of our social compact. We must partner enterprises and training providers even more closely to provide learning opportunities and ladders at multiple junctures. And our workers must never be afraid to pivot quickly to seize new opportunities to relearn, unlearn, and keep learning. Mid-career workers are a key focus group. For most, it would have been some years since they were last in school. With advances in technology, their skills may need a refresh, yet they may face other competing priorities or challenges in taking time off for the training they need. To help them overcome these barriers, last year we announced a SkillsFuture Level Up program for Singaporeans aged 40 and above. This includes the SkillsFuture mid-career training allowance of up to $3,000 per month to help cover some of the income they may lose out while attending selected full-time courses. Applications for the training allowance for full-time training will open on 10th March for eligible training from 1st April this year. This year, as PM announced in the budget speech, we are expanding the training allowance to cover part-time training as well. Mid-career workers can continue working and drawing their pay when attending part-time training, but they will have learning expenses such as books and transport. From early next year, we will provide a fixed allowance of $300 per month to defray some of these expenses. This will give workers some flexibility to choose between part-time or full-time training depending on their specific needs and personal circumstances. MOS Gan will share more on SkillsFuture. To cater to different learners' needs, we established the Singapore University of Social Sciences, or SUSS, as our sixth autonomous university in 2017. SUSS offers programs that cater to the needs of different learners, including working adults. Many classes are run after working hours. Short courses can also be counted towards a qualification or degree. SUSS has enabled more Singaporeans to pursue a subsidized degree, both fresh out of school and at a later stage in life. Since becoming an AU, SUSS has already seen more than 22,000 graduates pass through its doors. Currently, SUSS is spread across multiple rented premises, including its main location at Clementi. This is not an ideal arrangement. It is time for SUSS to have its own consolidated campus to accommodate its growing enrollment. As PM said in his budget speech, SUSS permanent campus will be in the city, easily accessible to learners of all ages. It will be built at the site and vicinity of the former Rochow Centre. SUSS new campus will go beyond being just a building. Its design will enable SUSS staff and students to create new knowledge and new value propositions with and for industry and society. It will allow SUSS to connect with alumni, industry and community partners across generations to bridge diverse perspectives and transcend diversity and differences. And it must contribute to society befitting SUSS' vision to inspire learning for life and impact lives. SUSS must be a beacon for lifelong learning, continuous, compassionate meritocracy, and broader definitions of success. We will start mobilizing the ideas and energies of the students, staff, and alumni of SUSS to design the campus and bring it into reality by the mid-2030s. Chair, MOE cannot achieve these ambitions alone. We need the partnership and support of our parents, society, and industry. Mr. Darryl David, Dr. Wan Rizal, and Associate Professor Raswana asked how we are supporting and developing our teachers. Previously, I announced measures that MOE is taking to set boundaries and expectations for our teachers. Our teachers have a duty of care as much as a duty to grow for our students. Teachers should not be expected to be everywhere, doing everything at all times for everyone. Over-provision, over-structuring, and over-protection of our students can paradoxically stunt their growth even if they perform and excel in the immediate term. Letting students make decisions for themselves, take care of one another, and resolve conflicts amongst themselves are all important life skills. We as adults, parents, and educators should not be too quick to jump in, take over, and deprive them of opportunities to learn and grow. MOE has refreshed the guidelines for school-home partnership to provide clearer guidance on how parents and teachers can work together positively and respectfully. We will stand with our teachers to protect them from unreasonable expectations and conduct. We will continue to streamline our teachers' administrative duties with technology. A new feature on Parents Gateway allows parents to electronically submit documents for their child's absence so that teachers do not need to manually track this. This will be rolled out to all schools by the end of this year. To inspire the best of each generation to teach, we must also develop our educators well, so that in turn, they are well equipped to bring out the best in future generations. MOE and the National Institute of Education are reviewing the 16-month postgraduate diploma in education program. To ensure that it remains relevant and meets the evolving needs of new hires, both fresh graduates and mid-career individuals. Beyond pedagogical skills, teachers will need to build up their skills to nurture the social-emotional development of our children and to partner with parents. The review is expected to be completed by the end of this year. The Teacher Work Attachment Plus program sends teachers on short-term attachments and learning journeys to broaden their perspective and share the culture of curiosity and lifelong learning with their students. Our schools and institutes of higher learning will continue to closely partner industry to tighten the nexus between frontier technology and academia and to create new value propositions to ensure that our students and workforce are equipped with relevant skills and to evolve our HR practices to respect and reward these skills. Chair, I've laid out the two structural shifts we must pursue in our next bound for us to truly sustain a system that can realize our people's potential, embracing our diversity of talents and learning for life. While many may share similar vision, few may be able to achieve this. because it is not an easy task. We will only realize our aspirations if we have the right ingredients. And I'm going to list down what have brought us here so far and what will bring us forward. First, a stable and consistent government that enables both policymakers and educators to think long term. Second, a society that respects, invests in, and inspires its best people to join the ranks of educators for the next generation. Third, a teaching force determined to do what is right for our children, nurturing their holistic and lifelong development beyond their immediate grades. Fourth, a partnership built on trust between educators and families as we instill the right values and shared perspective with our children. Fifth, a robust academic industry nexus that achieves speed and relevance in our curriculum. Sixth, a sense of vigilance to keep watch on global forces from geostrategic to economic, societal and technology that impact our survival and success, constantly challenging ourselves to adapt, adjust and stay ahead. Next, an open mindset that embraces those who are different, leveraging on their diverse capabilities to complement our own and to create new value propositions together. A nation that respects, celebrates and affirms the diversity of talents which makes us resilient. An ethos of continuous and compassionate meritocracy that inspires us to surpass ourselves throughout life and excel together as Team Singapore rather than surpassing one another in internal zero-sum contests. And finally, a true metal in our people which propels us to set our sights ever higher and to turn our constraints into our winning edge. Chair, we are here because the Singaporeans before us gave their all to this generation. And it is upon our shoulders to do the same for future generations. Let us all, government, educators, parents, employers, and industry, refresh our commitment to pay this forward so that every generation of Singaporeans can aspire to a better future and that every generation of Singaporeans will define our success by how we enable the next generation to do even better than ours. Thank you.